My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The cost to ship liquefied natural gas skyrockets ahead of a looming winter energy crunch.
It's totally unprecedented. It's multiple times as high as it was last year, and it's putting a pressure to the high natural gas prices that are out there already.
Plus, the pandemic retail trading boom goes bust, and Snap reports slowing sales growth as digital advertisers cut spending. It's Friday, October 21st. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Following marathon talks, European Union leaders have pushed discussions on whether to pursue an emergency limit on natural gas prices to their energy ministers, who are set to meet on Tuesday. In a statement early this morning, EU leaders said that any such price cap should include a cost-benefit analysis, ensure that gas use doesn't rise, and address uneven effects across the bloc. We'll look at the fast-rising cost of shipping liquefied natural gas and at delivery delays at several European ports later in the show. The Biden administration's student loan forgiveness program has cleared a major legal hurdle after a federal judge in Missouri denied a request by a group of Republican officials from six states to block the program. In Thursday's ruling, the judge said the GOP state leaders didn't have standing to challenge the loan forgiveness because they couldn't show they had been harmed by the Biden program. The ruling is a boost for the White House as it plans to begin canceling debt in the coming days. The states said that they would quickly appeal. Colombia has posted a sharp rise in coca cultivation, with the UN's Office on Drugs and Crime saying that the amount of land used to grow the main ingredient in cocaine expanded 43% from 2020 to 2021 to a new record. Colombia's new justice minister said the data shows that anti-narcotic strategies in Colombia are failing. Various Colombian government officials have been highly critical of the U.S. anti-narcotics approach in Latin America and suggested that the legalization of cocaine should be considered. Officials at the U.S. Embassy in Bogota and at the Office of National Drug Control Policy at the White House didn't respond to requests for comment about the U.N.'s findings. And Snapchat owner Snap Inc. posted a further slowdown in sales growth yesterday as it signaled that the digital ad market could remain lackluster for some time. Snap shares fell more than 25% in pre-market trading on the results. Journal Markets reporter Caitlin McCabe says that despite having lost more than 85% of its market value in the past year, Snap remains an important market bellwether.
The problems plaguing Snap are something that many other tech companies are facing. Snap has been struggling to respond to the sagging ad market, as well as privacy policy changes that Apple introduced last year that make it more difficult to target ads and track their performance. And so Meta, for example, has been contending with similar challenges in the digital ad space, and it is expected to post another revenue decline next week.
The pandemic day trading boom has gone bust as a swooning stock market saps the enthusiasm of individual investors to buy and sell stocks. So what does that trend mean for brokerages and for the stocks that retail traders had flocked to in recent years? Wall Street Journal financial technology reporter Peter Rudiger joins us now from New York with some answers. Hey, Peter, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
Okay, so take us through the evidence that we are starting to see really piling up here of a decline in retail trading and what that means for stock brokerages in particular.
Sure. So in the past few weeks, some of the biggest retail brokerages in the country have started reporting their third quarter results. And alongside those, they report things like the average daily number of trades that their retail customers engage in a quarter. And what we saw at Charles Schwab, one of the biggest in the country, that their average daily number of trades fell to about 5.52 million, which might sound like a lot, but that's actually the lowest number since they acquired a rival TD Ameritrade in late 2020. And we saw the same kind of thing happen at Morgan Stanley, which acquired E-Trade in late 2020. The number of average daily trades they saw on E-Trade was about 805,000, which is, again, lowest since that merger happened in late 2020. And just to give you a sense of the scale, in the first quarter of 2021, when stocks like GameStop were skyrocketing, Charles Schwab reported a daily average number of retail trades of 8.41 million. Morgan Stanley, that number was 6.12 million, so well off the highs that we saw just 18 months ago.
Is this decline in retail trading becoming a financial concern for these brokerages?
Well, I think it depends on how diversified a brokerage it is. So at Charles Schwab and Morgan Stanley, they have a lot of business lines and they're doing just fine. Robinhood, on the other hand, is much more reliant on trading revenue to sustain itself. And it has started to react to the decline in volumes by cutting costs. So they've done two layoffs this year. The second one in August, they cut about 23% of their full-time staff. And they cited things like the additional deterioration in the macro environment and inflation running at a 40-year high. So it really depends on what else the business does. If you're solely reliant on trading, even if you don't charge for commissions, you could still make money by selling customer orders. And if the volume is down, then yes, your revenue is down too.
And Peter, I wonder what all of this means for meme stocks, the actual equities being traded by many of these retail traders. Is the meme stock phase over?
So I think you still have some pockets of meme stock activity happening in August. Some of the meme stock crowd favorites like Bed Bath & Beyond and AMC, they skyrocketed in price. But what you don't see is kind of that sustained months and weeks long rally in meme stocks that we saw in 2021. So even since that rally in Bed Bath & Beyond and AMC, those gains have been erased in just a few weeks.
That was Wall Street Journal financial technology reporter Peter Rudiger in New York. Peter, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, ships carrying liquefied natural gas are commanding record prices as winter approaches. We'll get the latest on freight rates and lingering supply chain issues after the break.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
As countries around the world scramble to secure natural gas supplies ahead of winter, liquefied natural gas tankers have become a hot commodity. Brokers and shipowners say that nearly all gas carriers in the global fleet are currently in operation to move LNG to customers, and daily freight rates to ship LNG have now hit record highs. Wall Street Journal senior reporter Kostas Paris covers global shipping for us and has been following these developments ahead of the winter energy crunch, and he joins us now with the very latest. Kostas, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us.
It's good to be with you again.
So tell us about freight shipment prices now. How unusual are these rates that we are currently seeing?
Well, they've reached record highs, and it's quite unprecedented that we're talking about these kind of levels. $500,000 a day to ship LNG from Texas to a European port. It's totally unprecedented. It's multiple times as high as it was last year, and it's putting a pressure to the high natural gas prices that are out there already.
Aside from these incredible pricing swings, we're also seeing now a number of issues popping up along the LNG supply chain. You're reporting there are now multiple day backups at some Western European ports. Detail some of these disruptions for us and what is causing them.
Well, there are two reasons for this. One is that a lot of European ports do not have the terminals. LNG comes frozen, and then you have to regasify it. And these are special terminals. You can also do this with floating terminals, which are also at super high freight rates to charter. There are not enough floating terminals or inland regasification terminals in Europe. That's why the ships are waiting to dock. The other reason is that about half the available fleet is being used as floating storage. It means that you get a cargo but you wait. It's up to a month, for instance, at a specific point, and you hedge to see if gas prices go up. If gas prices go up, when you deliver the cargo, you will make even more money as the owner of the cargo.
Kostas, amid a global supply crunch, why is half of the LNG fleet being used as floating storage? It seems like there is no shortage of very eager buyers who would want this gas right away.
Because the contracts to deliver LNG are open-ended. It means that the price that it's going to be paid is going to be at the delivery date. And the delivery date is not guaranteed. So if you have a load and you travel and you see the gas prices go up, you can ask the captain of the ship to stop it for as long as you deem that the prices will continue to grow. So when you deliver it, you will make a much larger profit.
Kostas, you're reporting that almost all of these LNG ships globally are spoken for. Could that mean that come winter, there won't be an available ship to transport LNG to a country, even if it has secured supplies and placed its order?
Yes, this may be the case. There may be a crunch and a scramble to find vessels. About a third of the order book for new ships make up about half of the existing fleet. So the new buildings are going to hit the water over the next 3 years, and they have all already been chartered for the next 5 or 6 years. It shows how strong the demand is for this kind of ships.
Kostas, put all of this together for us. We are still weeks, months out from the big winter energy crunch, and yet prices are already high. There are already interruptions along the LNG supply chain. Could things get worse?
There is certainly a decision by the European Union to cut Russian supplies. So that means that the other ways to move natural gas, like LNG or ships, is going to become even more in demand. There are realistic, I would say, expectations that freight rates are going to go up to 1 million per day, spot rates. And these are cargoes which mainly come in from Texas to Europe, from Qatar to Europe, and from Australia to Europe. But the U.S. has now become the largest exporter of LNG.
And finally, Kostas, is there any relief on the horizon, possibly, in the form of these regasification plants that you mentioned are being constructed?
There's no immediate relief on the horizon. So new regasification plants are expected to come into play over the next couple of years.
That was Wall Street Journal senior reporter Kostas Paris, who covers global shipping for us. Kostas, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, when you imagine a dipping sauce for fried chicken, maybe you think of a combination of ketchup, mustard, vinegar, and mayonnaise. Now imagine mint chocolate. A mint chocolate food craze is currently sweeping South Korea, where it is being stirred into rice cakes, piled onto burgers, and stuffed into steamed buns. And yes, it's even being used as a dipping sauce in a promotion by KFC. To be fair, not everyone is on board with the trend, but Wall Street Journal technology and business reporter Ji Young Seon says that one thing isn't in question: South Korea's reputation as a laboratory of product experimentation.
South Korea is famous for being a country where everything moves very fast. Koreans are also generally tech-savvy and well-connected to their internet, meaning that information and news here tends to travel around fast. In Korea, when something takes off, many people will join in on that latest trend. For these reasons, a lot of global brands often use South Korea as a test market for new products and services. If something does well here, it's likely to do well in countries elsewhere. For instance, Korea was the first market in the world for Starbucks to launch its mobile app for pre-ordering drinks. Global food brands also tend to launch a lot of new unique menus in Korea because local consumers like trying new things and because food trends tend to shift around very quickly here.
And that's What's News for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.